Without pause, even as the last of the trio of 9mm slugs thumped flesh and bone, Ryan swung his aim to the right and fired repeatedly. As fast as he could pull the trigger, he poured round after round into the front of the mirrored box, hoping to nail the unspeakable spectator, the force behind the evil that was planned for Bullardville. Bullet holes stitched across the mirror's silver surface. From across the center ring, the tiny dark holes looked like pinpricks. Pinpricks that cracked and crazed into each other, dropping and shattering huge pieces of glass. Under his ravening fusillade, the entire mirror wall crashed from its frame. Inside, among the litter of silver shards, there was an overturned armchair, its backrest pocked with numerous slugs, the stuffing blasted out the back in handfuls. The door to the rear stood open. No corpses littered the floor. Beside him, the other companions opened fire, the din of the simultaneous shooting making Ryan's head reel. Dean had the little girl standing behind him. She clung to his narrow hips as he blasted away, scattering the masked Rousties. Jack pulled over one of the running men with his .357, sending him flying end over end. The enemy was more disciplined than Ryan had figured. They didn't try to make a beeline for the exit, spraying random fire to clear the way. With their blasters out, they dashed behind the cover of the tarped trailer.
Everybody out! Everybody out now!
JB's scattergun roared, drowning out the one-eyed man's words before he could repeat them. It didn't matter. Bullets from the concealed roustabouts whined over his head. In seconds, the 150 or so spectators were madly stampeding the exit, not wanting to see another thing. Ryan signaled for Jack to circle wide while he charged the near corner of the cage. JB kept blasting the dirt under the front of the trailer with his scatter gun, keeping the Rousties from firing at them from beneath its undercarriage. Dean likewise provided steady covering fire as Ryan closed on his targets. If there hadn't been poison gas in the tarped cage, Ryan would have shot right through it to hit the men on the other side. But as it was, he couldn't risk blind fire. He had to wait until he rounded the end of the trailer. One Rousty was hoping he'd do just that. As Ryan neared, the man stepped out, his KG-99 barking. The stick mag held a lot of rounds, and the Rousty was trying to burn them all. He took wild, barely aimed shots that sailed high over Ryan's head or skimmed the dirt at his feet. The one-eyed man didn't slow, didn't blink. Ryan put a single slug from the P226 into the middle of the black mask. The other gas-masked men, crouching behind the cage, had thrown up the tarp and back. They couldn't get inside the barred box because the cage door was on the other side and exposed to JB and Dean's fire. As Ryan cleared the corner, he saw two of the men frantically trying to pull around the nozzle ends of the canisters. Before Ryan could fire, one of the men took a ricochet hit off the dirt from a load of double-aught buckshot. The blast shattered both his shins. He fell away from the cage and tried to crawl away. The other man had his arm through the bars. His hand was on a nozzle, and he was turning it. Jack's Colt boomed twice from the other end of the cage. Two of the roustabouts jerked as though flicked by a giant finger and were slammed sideways and down. Ryan drew a bead on the man who had his hand inside the cage. Fuck. Both he and Jack shot the last one at the same instant, their shots angled so no matter how the bullets deflected off bone, neither of them would be hit by friendly fire. The combined impact ripped the man off his feet and sent him crashing to his face on the ground. His legs were still kicking as Ryan closed the gap to the canisters.
No, Jack, stay back. The gas is loose. Get out. Get everybody out.
The albino stopped, and for a moment it looked like he were going to protest or defy the order, but then thought better of it. He turned and ran back the way he'd come. Ryan sucked down a quick breath. He rushed over to the spot where the Rousty had been standing. Standing with his chest pressed against the bars, Ryan reached through and ran the palm of his hand in front of the nozzles turned toward him. Nothing from the first, nothing from the second. Cold. Cold that burned like a blowtorch. He jerked his hand back. Ignoring the blisters that had instantly raised on his palm and the growing burn in his chest, he screwed down the wheel that sealed the nozzle. Ryan spun away, running around the trailer for the exit. He could see the tent was almost empty. Dean and the little girl, JB, Doc, and Jack were bringing up the rear, driving out the stragglers. How far did he have to run to be safe? How much gas had escaped? How much would it take to chill him? Hand of fate, he thought. Hand of fate. He ran until his legs gave out, and that wasn't far. 15 steps, maybe 20. Just over the center ring's bumper, he dropped to his knees. Should have taken a deeper breath, he told himself. Strong hands reached under Ryan's armpits and pulled him to his feet. When he opened his eyes, he stared into irises the color of blood. Jack ducked his head under the one-eyed man's left arm. JB did the same on the right, and they half-carried, half-dragged him to the exit. Outside the tent...
They're gonna be sorry they ever started this. Everybody here knows just what to do. Even the kids too young to carry blasters. We train all the time to drive off chillers and robbers.
How many Rusties did we get, JB?
6 or 8.
Plenty left, then.
Afraid so.
The Magus is behind the whole thing. And he's here. He was watching the show, sitting there like a big fat spider, waiting for the fucking gas to be released.
You saw him?
Yeah, Christy. Just for a second. I had a shot at him, but I couldn't make it. He got away.
The Magus isn't gonna let us quietly slip away after what we just did here. He never lets things like this slide.
The Carney Chillers are gonna regroup and come after us, that's for sure.
We definitely can't count on the Ville folks for any help either. They don't understand what happened in the tent. All they saw was us shooting first, without provocation. They don't know we saved their lives.
In a situation like this, every Outlander has a target on his back.
At that moment, blaster fire barked at them from the top of the berm. Well-concealed and well-protected shooters lying prone along its ridge sent a volley of bullets smacking into the sides of the tent, forcing the companions to scramble for cover. There was no telling to which side the attackers belonged. JB and Jack put up covering fire, spraying the face of the berm with buckshot and magnum slugs as they all ducked inside the protection of the tent's entrance.
Is it okay for us to be in here, Mildred?
I think very little of the gas got loose, and what was released has been diluted. It shouldn't hurt us, except for maybe some minor skin rashes and burning eyes.
It might be safe to breathe in here, but we can't stay. We've got to make our break, and we've got to make it now, before the other sides get themselves organized.
Could be those shooters along the berm out there are set up to herd us into an ambush.
That's a chance we've got to take. We've lost the element of surprise, and that was our only advantage. We're way outnumbered and way outgunned. The folks who live here can defend themselves against the looters. But all we can do at this point is beat a fighting retreat. We've got to get out of this Ville.
And we sure can't do it on foot. The Rousties will run us down in minutes with their wags.
Our only hope is to steal a fast one and roll out of here in it.
If we can, we'd better find a way to disable the other wags before we take off. Otherwise, all we're doing is changing the location of our funerals.
Ryan drew a broad circle in the dirt with his fingertip.
Okay, here's the tent. The shortest route to the wags is to the right. Past the rows of sideshow trailers, over here.
If I were planning an ambush, that's right where I'd set up, with hard cover for my shooters from the berm and the trailers, and the targets caught out in the open ground between.
Sounds like we've got to go the other way, then. The long way.
That puts us in plain sight of the Ville and whatever's happening there.
From the sound of it, everybody's pretty well occupied. Let's just hope they stay that way.
What about Lilu?
The little girl stood beside Dean, her back straight, eyes unblinking. The crown of daisies, slightly tilted.
Dean's right, Ryan. We can't just leave her here with all these chillers on the loose.
We'll find a way to get her safely back to her people. But first we've got to deal with the shooters from the top of the berm, so we can circle around the other side of the tent.
Adra, fire out of way.
Jack, wait!
Too late. The albino slipped out of the tent, his Colt Python raised in his fist. No sooner had he vanished than a torrent of slugs slapped the wall of the tent in the direction he had fled. The direction of the Mutie Menagerie.
Okay, people. Move! Move now!
JB burst out the exit first, his shotgun thundering at his hip, dragging the zombie-like Doc behind him. Jack could run like the wind. Something in his jeans had given him coiled steel springs for legs, with just the right balance of muscle to bone. As he ran, bullets flew at his head like angry wasps and whacked the side of the tent, raising puffs of dust. He ignored them. The curve of the tent loomed before him. Cover. If he got far enough, fast enough. From behind him came rocking, consecutive blasts of JB's scattergun. For an instant, the blaster fire aimed at him stopped. All he needed. He rounded the tent, out of the line of pursuing fire. If there were more shooters along the berm in front of him, they were keeping their heads and blasters down. As the rows of trailered cages came into view, the lion roared. Jack sprinted to close the gap between them. The great cat awaited him, pacing wildly back and forth in its cage. Jack holstered the Colt and used the hub of a wheel to scramble onto the trailer's bed. He unbolted the cage door and pushed it wide open. The Mutie Mountain Lion jumped out, landing softly on the dirt despite its tremendous weight. Jack hopped down from the trailer. The cat gave him a swat with a huge soft paw. The blow drove Jack hard to his knees.
Whoa, buddy.
A hot, scratchy tongue slathered his face and neck.
Not as close, little brother. Lying in wait.
Jack could almost sense their terrible confusion and panic. It had never occurred to the Chillers that he would release the half-ton man-eater. They didn't know whether to open fire to protect their comrades from the lion, or wait for the rest of their designated targets to appear, according to plan. It was a problem they had no time to consider, let alone solve. The lion ducked under the trailer. It pulled itself forward, belly dragging on the ground. Jack followed on his knees, the Colt Python in his hand. On the far side of the trailer, he could see seven sets of legs. Five belonged to men, two to women. Jack ducked his face lower and got a glimpse of the semi-auto hand blasters the ambush crew held. High-capacity stick mags jutted from the blue steel weapons receivers. Big-time firepower, 210 rounds versus his six. Jack suddenly lost the cat in a cloud of dust as it sprang out from under the trailer.
Holy shit!
The roustabouts and snake charmers, caught unawares, tried to put bullets into a tornado of fan and claw, moving way too fast to track. The beige blur slipped between them, wound around them, brushing them with the electric tips of its soft fur and black tasseled tail. The ambushers' wild volleys banged into cages and trailers and set the trapped sideshow mutants screaming. Jack saw the scaly Balduna throw himself into a corner and cover both his heads with his arms as slugs sparked off and rattled the bars of his cage. One of the Rousties squeezed the trigger of his KG-99 over and over as he whirled, spraying a tight string of single shots through the chest of the man standing in front of him. The impact lifted the guy off his feet and set him down 4 feet away. As his knees buckled and his shirt front bloomed red, he managed to return fire. His two shots went wide and hit one of the leggy women in the hip and thigh. She twisted away and dropped, unable to stand with a shattered pelvis. She writhed in the yellow dirt, her face ashen with shock. Ignoring the blaster fire, the lion played with the surviving five like a house cat with a brood of mice. One by one, it swept their legs out from under them or batted them on the back of the head just hard enough to stagger them. It let them run a few yards toward cover, then hooked a single cruel claw in the back of their waistbands and dragged them back into the middle of the aisle. It flattened them one after another, face down on the ground. The battering went on for several minutes until finally all five Chillers were on their hands and knees, unable to rise. Having lost their weapons, they gasped and sobbed, tears streaming down their cheeks.
Please, let us go!
They knew they lived or died at the whim of something far more terrible than they. But the lion didn't take their lives. It stood over them for a moment, panting softly, its long tail lashing. Then it sat back on its haunches and began to clean itself.